Our reading for September 15th is going to come from 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place that men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, rather she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Chapter 2 is pretty short compared to a lot of the readings we've been doing. But going back to thinking about the end of chapter 1, that Paul talks about himself and his place as chief among sinners, the way he puts it. And then he talks about the fact that Timothy needed to hold a good faith, a good conscience, and that by rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, and he mentions Hymenaeus and Alexander. So then chapter 2, he really starts to give his exhortation toward Timothy to then engage himself in certain activities, but not just him, everyone. Yes, this letter is written to Timothy, but it was written to Timothy for him to charge the brethren with certain behaviors and certain ways of life, and he likewise would do the same, that he would fulfill those charges. And so he says, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all. Let's talk a little bit about these intercessions, supplications, prayers. Supplication and prayer both really means the same thing in that it's a request that might be made known. But the idea between them, as far as a difference between them, is that prayers would be a petition that arises from a sense of need, that you make a request based on that need. But the supplications would be more of the idea of requesting protection. And so the idea there between the two might be that one is make requests to fulfill your needs, and then the supplications would be, you know, pray for protection. And if we combine that with the fact that he makes mention of those in power, those in government places, and realize that at the time of this writing was right before that government was going to be very much against Christians, it might simply be that, yes, you're going to be submissive to government as far as you can until it crosses with God's commandments. But at the same time, your government is going to do some terrible things, and you might want to pray to God for protection from that same government that you're being submissive to. I don't know if I'm completely correct there, but that's my understanding of the difference between the two words, and that's how I think he's applying it here. Intercessions would be, you know, praying on someone else's behalf. Thanksgivings is pretty obvious, being thankful. He says, kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified. So the idea is we want government, and we want government to fulfill its God-given role to be a terror to evil. But at the same time, we don't want government to intrude to the point that we can't live that dignified and godly and peaceful life. And so we're going to pray that we are able to do that, that as citizens under that government is not going to oppose us in being a godly people. He says, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved Well, there's nobody that is your enemy to the point that you wouldn't want them to be saved, because that would not be a godly attitude. And then he says in verse 5, there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Then he says, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. And then he has this parenthetical statement, I am telling the truth, I am not lying. I don't think he needed to convince Timothy of that. But we know that letters got circulated around to other areas and other people, and it has been saved for us today. So I think that was inserted in there for their benefit and our benefit still today. So he was appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Remember, that was part of the problem. That's why he really got the ire of a lot of Jews, is because he was, in fact, teaching the Gentiles and bringing them into the fold. And some of those Judaizing teachers really wanted those Gentiles to have to keep certain things of the old law. And Paul said, no, they don't have to do that. They have liberty under Christ. Verse 8, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Some people take this very literally. I think that all that Paul is talking about is simply being blameless, being innocent. That's what holy would mean, would be righteous. So your hands would be clean. You wouldn't be guilty of something. So you have holy hands in the sight of God. And then he mentions the women, that they should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, modesty, self-control, but not with braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly attire. And a lot of times we want to define those things. We want to say, okay, what is modest attire? And yeah, there's a few guidelines within the Bible that give us some parameters of what's proper and what's good. However, the focus really needs to be on the rest of this statement that is in verse 10. What is proper for women who profess godliness? And the fact is, if we are pursuing godliness in the sight of God from the heart, then the other things will fall into line. And that's where we really need to start. You get the heart right, then you get the behavior and the outward appearance right. And he says, along with this, good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. Do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority of a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. That is, she is to fulfill her role in the family, in the marriage relationship, and yes, in spiritual authority as well, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This idea of exercising authority really is the idea of competing with man for that position of prominence or even authority. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. So that's the point, is that's why man was chosen by God to lead, is because the woman was apparently easier deceived than the man was. Now, just to give a little bit of credit where credit is due, the implication is Adam knew it was wrong. He wasn't deceived, but he did it anyway. So just to be fair within that, but God knows the differences between man and woman, and he set things up in a certain way, and we need to respect that. Whether we would agree with it because of our own sensibilities or not, we respect what God has set forth. Verse 15, yet she will be saved through childbearing. A lot of people ask about this, want to know, what does childbearing have to do with it? Does it mean that if a woman doesn't have any children, does that mean she can't be saved? And I do not believe that's what Paul is saying. I think that he's still talking about fulfilling one's role. So, you know, for example, if a woman doesn't get married, then, you know, does that make her sinful because she didn't get married? No, that's her liberty. That's her choice. If a woman gets married and let's say she becomes widowed at a young age, you know, later on we're going to see that Paul wrote to Timothy and said, encourage the younger widows to remarry. But there are plenty of examples of women that that their husbands died at some young age. And some of them never remarried. There's nothing wrong with that. And they were pleasing to God. So I don't want to get into that, you know, idea that they have to get married, they have to bear children. Some people are unable to bear children. Does that make them sinful because they're unable? No. The point is, fulfill your role as God has given you in whatever station in life or position in life you end up in, whether you're a wife or not a wife, whether you're a mother or not a mother. Fulfill that role. Go back to verse 10. Fulfill those things that are proper for women that profess godliness. And we could turn this around. We could say the same things about men. Fulfill your role. Be men that profess godliness, you know, from the heart. Let that influence your actions. So I think that's what Paul is saying there when he says childbearing is talking about that role. And then he says, if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. That's really the main things. Continue in that faith, love, and holiness with self-control, and then you're going to fulfill your role, and you're going to profess godliness. You're going to do those things, and then you'll be just fine. We'll get into chapter 3 tomorrow. We're going to get into qualifications for overseers. We have looked at these things before. Before we ever, you know, appointed elders, we went through this twice, actually. So we should be familiar with these things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but we will go through them for our reading. I would ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all, and come back tomorrow, and we will do 1 Timothy chapter 3.